a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome back to At Your Service. We've got one more hour to go. My goodness, I don't know where the first hour went, but I'm glad that you're with us for this second hour. We've got lots of stuff to dive into, like the TikTok ban, minimum wage laws in California, dogs and cats living together, all kinds of things we're going to talk about.
But I'm
you know, my daughter's got a dog, and they also bought a cat.
Oh.
And I'm always thinking, you know, they're just ragging and tagging, but they have to keep them in separate rooms.
They do?
They do, yeah, or else it gets kind of nasty. Hey, I wanted to ask Maria Kina, because there was a study that came out today, and there was a poll of, I think, 1,500 Americans.
Mm-hmm.
What is the number one Disney movie? So I wanted to see what your pick would be for that.
Well, you know, I'm kind of old school. I like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I like Cinderella.
Mm-hmm. Snow White came in third.
Did it really?
Of all Disney movies.
Oh.
Cinderella did not make the list.
Hmm. How about Bambi?
Bambi did not make the top seven.
Hmm. Number one.
But speaking of Bambi, have you ever seen the video on YouTube, Bambi versus Godzilla?
No.
You ever seen that?
No.
It's a very short animated movie, and there's this most beautiful music, and Bambi is eating grass by a peaceful stream, and then a giant foot comes down on Bambi, and it's over.
Oh, no. That's just awful. See, I wouldn't want to see that.
Well, I'm not saying it's entertaining. I'm just letting you know it's a very short movie. Bambi versus Godzilla. You don't have to pay ticket prices to see that, because it's about 15 seconds long.
That's horrible.
Yes. But, you know, one of my favorites is 101 Dalmatians, the original.
Yeah.
The animated movie. I love that. And talk about a movie that was so perfectly transformed from animation to live action. That was one of the greats.
Yeah, you mean with Glenn Close,
with Glenn
right?
Close.
Yeah.
Oh, she was so good, wasn't she?
Yeah, very much so.
Oh, she was great.
So I'm curious, what's number one?
Number one is, according to the study from Study Finds, Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, okay.
And listen, as the father of three girls who were all born in around the 90s,
mm-hmm.
We must have watched that Beauty and the Beast about 8,000 times.
Really?
At my house. Yeah, we did. we wore out the VHS, and then we wore out the DVD in our house.
Oh, well, that's at least, you know, at least it made number one.
And Lion King came in too.
I almost thought it was going to be Lion King would be number one.
I bet it was close. I don't have how close those are, but I'll bet those were close. Coming in number four, The Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm. 5, Toy Story. 6 was 101 Dalmatians. And 7 was Pinocchio.
Oh, Pinocchio. I forgot about him.
Right. Which, by the way, there's also no truth to the rumor that that is Dr. Fauci's nickname. That is just a rumor. And I'm not gonna spread rumors about that. Because I'm above that. So I'm not going to do that.
That's just terrible.
But Beauty and the Beast came in number one. And
Pinocchio.
But you guessed your favorite was Snow White, so that came in third.
I'm glad it was. I almost thought it might not be.
Which, by the way, I don't know that you could do Snow White today. A lady that's living in a house with seven guys. And that's the plot of the movie, right?
It is. It's true.
And random guys come up and kiss her in the forest. I mean. That's a kid's movie? No, really?
You know, look at how times have changed. Because that was so beautiful and wonderful then. You know, and now you wouldn't dare. You're like, wait a minute, call the police.
And you're accepting fruit from haggardly women in the forest?
Yes.
I'm like, there's got to be something wrong with this movie.
You deserve to have that happen if you're taking those apples from that woman that looks like that.
I just don't think you could do that movie today.
I don't think you could either. There's quite a few you couldn't. I mean, there's a whole bunch that you really couldn't do. I mean, even the name.
Yeah.
You know, the Seven Dwarfs.
Well, I did read that there is There's a live action movie being done that Disney's working on. It's not a joke. I forgot the name of it because I wasn't prepared to talk about it. But they can't call them dwarves.
Right.
So it's just Snow White and I forgot some kind of euphemistic name.
Her many friends.
And her many friends, which again, I'm sorry, it sounds a little questionable that she's this drop-dead, smoking hot lady living in a house with seven guys. I just don't see how that's a kid's story. Just don't. Talk about your banning books. I mean, that...
And then what does the prince think about it when he comes over? Like, what are you doing with these guys?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to go with you when you've already got seven friends.
Exactly. You know, come on. You've got seven guys here. You don't need me.
Exactly. So anyway, we'll be watching for that movie at a theater near you. Thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
Hey, when we come back, I want to dive into this TikTok ban and also this question that Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch raised yesterday. Should you have to, does our Constitution require a jury to be comprised of 12 jurors? I mean, right now, the world is transfixed on the Donald Trump trial. Got 12 jurors there and a bunch of alternates. But do you have to have 12? And if you do, or even if you don't, what's the magic number? Why 12? More along those lines and stories of the day coming up next on At Your Service. I'm Brad Young. Stick around. This is the reason why I love being on Camel X. We just got a call during the break, and the caller pointed out that I did not mention Old Yeller in the list of Disney movies. Well, there's a reason why Old Yeller isn't in the top 10 Disney movies, and spoiler alert, if you've never seen Old Yeller, put your fingers in your ears for the next 10 seconds. But the dog dies in the end. I mean, how is that a great Disney movie? I watched that movie as a kid, and after Old Yeller bites the dust, that was not the feel-good hit of the summer, I will tell you. And so it was an interesting movie, but my goodness, talk about needing Zoloft after watching a movie. That is one of them. So that's not on the top of my Disney list because... the hero of the story dies at the end. So, again, sorry for the spoiler alert, but, you know, the movie did come out over 60 years ago, so it's not really that big of a spoiler. Hey, one of the topics I wanted to talk about, and I teased this in the prior segment, is that there was a case at the Supreme Court. It wasn't really a case. The parties were attempting to appeal a decision to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's what is called a writ of certiorari. That's where the court is petitioned to take a case because the Supreme Court only takes cases that it wants to take. It doesn't have to give a reason. It can or cannot take any case that it wants. And they turn down the vast majority. I think over 10,000 cases a year are appealed to the Supreme Court, and the court takes about 100. So the odds aren't too good that your case goes to the Supreme Court. Most cases don't. So one case that got appealed just yesterday was a case in which, I believe it was in Florida, where a person was convicted of a crime and the entire jury, was only made up of six people. So the question becomes, is that fair? Is that a fair jury? Is that due process? And I just got a text during the break, too, from someone commenting on this idea that justice is blind, but also justice has to be fair. And if you take a jury pool of 12 people, just think of this through the ramifications of what this means for just a moment. And then I got other stuff to talk about. But if the government has to prove to 12 people that you're guilty. Now, don't think of the Trump case because that's a case in of itself. It's not a model or it is not an example of anything. It's literally a case in its own universe. But any other case but the Trump case. If the prosecution has to convince 12 people of guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, but then they say, well, you don't have to convince 12 people. You just have to convince six people. that you're guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Can you see how that lowers the standard necessary to put you in prison? Now, if you've heard the show ever before, you'll know that I'm a very, very strong supporter of police, of prosecuting attorneys. Crime should be punished. I'm not in any way advocating that criminals should be walking free, although certainly the mayor of Boston is doing that, and that's in my stack of stuff here that I might get to before the end of the show. But likewise, I also don't want a system where you can be convicted of a crime very, very easily, because think about what that means, that the government, only the government has the power to take away your freedom. Only the government has the right to do that. Now, other entities have the power to do that. A criminal could do that. Someone could kidnap you and lock you in the basement like Sean Hornbeck all those years ago. So others have the power to do that, but they don't have the authority to do that. And that's one of those classic metaphors that I love to talk about, because there's a difference. We sometimes confuse power and authority. But here's a great example. If there is a police officer standing, and again, don't think of Scotty Scheffler because I'm not talking about him. But if there's a police officer who tells you to stop your car, if you leave the Muni, listen, I've been a season ticket holder at the Muni since 1992. And when you leave the Muni, there's always a cop who's directing traffic to let the cars go and other cars wait, right? Got to wait your turn. So when that cop holds up his hand and says, stop the car, he has or she has the authority to make you stop the car, but they don't have the power to do it. They can't physically hold the car back. Maybe they could pull the gun and start shooting, but they don't have the power to stop you, but they have the authority to stop you. Now, sorry to make a Marvel metaphor here, but if the Hulk suddenly shows up, he has the power to stop your car, but he lacks the authority to do so. So in this instance, the government is the only entity that has both the power and the authority to take away your freedom and to lock you up. So to do that, in order to fulfill that due process of law, to make sure that we're not Russia, where Russia just, for example, Evan Gerskovich, the reporter for the Wall Street Journal, he's being imprisoned right now for no other reason than he's an American. That's it. That's the only reason he's in jail right now, is he's an American, and Putin is trying to exert political pressure by sticking him in jail. That's the only reason he's in prison. That couldn't and shouldn't happen here, because there has to be a conviction by 12 members of your peers in order for you to go to prison. But some states now are allowing six. So Justice Neil Gorsuch came out in a dissent yesterday from what's called a writ of certiorari, where he said, you know what, that violates the concept of due process. If the government only has to convince six people that you're guilty, that's a lot fewer. The bar should be higher to deprive you of your freedom. And I agree with that. And I don't think that means you're soft on crime, because there was no person in St. Louis media who was more critical of Kim Gardner than I was when Kim Gardner was in office. Because her idea of being a prosecuting attorney was, I'm not here to prosecute criminals, I'm here to let them go. And that was outrageous. It was a travesty of justice. And the best thing that happened for the city of St. Louis was her removal from office last year. So I'm not soft on crime. And yet I also recognize that that power of the government, that authority of the government to take away your freedom, is something that should be exercised judicially. And I mean that in a non-court way, but I mean it in a way that says they've got to prove a lot of things to lock you up. And that's the way it should be. So from that respect, I think that Neil Gorsuch is correct. I want to touch on this topic for a minute before we get to others, and that is this. California last year signed into law a mandatory $20 an hour for fast food workers. How do you think that's working out in California? It sounds good, doesn't it? Everyone should make $20 an hour. my goodness, it will help people pay their bills. It'll help them buy cars. It'll help them get reasonably affordable housing. Who could be against that? Well, after this break, I will tell you how this is one of the greatest examples of the law of unintended consequences, because it's not working out so well for California. Brad Young here at your service. Stick around. We'll be back right after this on KMOX. Welcome back to KMOX at your service. And sometimes we have some great conversations off the air during the break. And I wanted to bring in producer Kyle Sixta here to talk about one of the conversations we had, because right when the show started, you were telling me about this player. Is it Lopez?
Yeah, Jorge Lopez.
Jorge Lopez. And he's with the Mets. Mm-hmm. And let's give the backstory. What happened to him earlier today?
So in today's game against the Dodgers, he didn't pitch very well. He gave up a homer to Shohei Ohtani. Overall, just not a great outing, right? And he got into some type of argument with the third base coach, and he got ejected from the game. So he got ejected and just had a bad outing overall. And as he walked off the field, he threw his glove into the stands as he was yelling to the third base umpire, and just obviously very unhappy with both himself and I'm sure whatever happened. And threw his glove into the stands, and it was a whole thing. After the game, he was asked if he regretted what he did, and he said no, essentially, and that he plays for the worst team in the MLB, and he's also the worst teammate, is what he said.
Okay, well, let's break this down. So he's interviewed after the game. He's wearing his Mets jersey.
Yep.
And he says about his own team, what does he say?
He said pretty much that I play for the worst team in the whole MLB.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, it's insane.
And so we were talking about this earlier in the show, right at the end of Matt Pauly's show. And as we were getting ready to go on, you were telling me about this guy who was dissing his own team while he's wearing the uniform. But then, like, within the last 30 minutes or so, something else happened. What happened?
Yeah, so it didn't last very long. Nobody assumed that it would take very long. He just got DFA'd by the Mets. So essentially, he was just released
and
by
the
team.
What does DFA mean?
It's designated for assignment. So essentially, he gets placed through waivers. And from my understanding, every team has a chance to pick him up. And if not, he just gets reassigned to their minor league team,
right,
which I assume he's gone.
Right, because who's going to pick this guy up,
right,
when he mocks his own team? No one's going to pick him up unless he was like smoking hot pitcher, but he's not.
I mean, he hasn't been having a great season. He's a journeyman through the league. He's played on quite a few teams now. I could see a team picking him up because he's not bad by any means. He's just having a bad year, but I definitely don't anticipate he'll ever pitch for the Mets again. That's no, for sure.
Well, thank you, Kyle, for sharing that, because the reason why I wanted to mention that is after a stunt like that, he might be working at McDonald's. And if he's working at McDonald's, he's going to get $20 an hour in California. And that's probably where he needs to stay. But I wanted to dive into this topic, but I love this Lopez story. So, Kyle, thanks for sharing that. But I love this story out of California because it's a great example of, number one, the power of economics, and number two, the law of unintended consequences. So, as I kind of mentioned right before the break, California passed a law last year that requires all fast food workers make $20 an hour. Now, that sounds really good. In fact, Governor Newsom, Gavin Newsom, he stated when he signed this into law last year, and I'm quoting, "We saw the iniquities. We had a responsibility to do more," unquote. Unions, of course, were pushing for this. And CNN, never losing an opportunity to cheer on a leftist program, states, and I'm quoting, "Half a million California fast food workers will now earn $20 per hour." Well, I don't think that's true, and I'll tell you why. Because that's not how it's worked out. Because anytime the government interferes with the free market system, it creates this idea of just nasty unintended consequences. So At this point, there was one intended consequence, and that is that existing workers got a raise. They were probably making less than $20 an hour. Now they're making $20 an hour. So at least for the intended consequence, it's pretty sweet. They get more money. Of course, in California, with the taxes as high as they are, how much of that $20 an hour are they actually going to see in terms of that pay raise? That's a good question. But let's talk about the unintended consequences. And as far as I can tell, there are four major unintended consequences of this. Even though it sounds good, it's really not. And let me tell you why. First of all, thousands of Californians lost their jobs immediately when this went into effect. Why? Well, because number one, restaurants closed. A lot of restaurants were basically barely hanging on. And if all of a sudden now, listen, I'm a business owner. I know how this works. The biggest cost of any operation is paying your people. I pay my people well at my law firm because I'm trying to attract and keep good people. And that obviously helps the overall work product, right? But if you're in a restaurant business where you're barely eking out a profit, paying people more money means now those businesses can't make money. And businesses are not in the business of losing money. They're in the business of making money. So those businesses went out of business. So all of those workers that were previously working for the companies that went out of business, how much of that $20 an hour are they making? Now they're making $0 an hour, which is an enormous pay cut. So that's the number one unintended consequences. I read that the chicken chain place called El Pollo Loco, that they immediately cut 10% of their workforce in California when this law went into effect. So you had some businesses going out of business. You had other businesses cutting their workforce. Again, the people that are cut, they're not. Welcome back to KMOX at your service. And sometimes we have some great conversations off the air during the break. And I wanted to bring in producer Kyle Sixta here to talk about one of the conversations we had, because right when the show started, you were telling me about this player. Is it Lopez?
Yeah, Jorge Lopez.
Jorge Lopez. And he's with the Mets. Mm-hmm. And let's give the backstory. What happened to him earlier today?
So in today's game against the Dodgers, he didn't pitch very well. He gave up a homer to Shohei Ohtani. Overall, just not a great outing, right? And he got into some type of argument with the third base coach, and he got ejected from the game. So he got ejected and just had a bad outing overall. And as he walked off the field, he threw his glove into the stands as he was yelling to the third base umpire and just obviously very unhappy with both himself and I'm sure whatever happened. And threw his glove into the stands, and it was a whole thing. After the game, he was asked if he regretted what he did, and he said no, essentially, and that he plays for the worst team in the MLB, and he's also the worst teammate, is what he said.
Okay, well, let's break this down. So he's interviewed after the game. He's wearing his Mets jersey.
Yep.
And he says about his own team, what does he say?
He said pretty much that I play for the worst team in the whole MLB.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, it's insane.
And so we were talking about this earlier in the show, right at the end of Matt Pauly's show. And as we were getting ready to go on, you were telling me about this guy who was dissing his own team while he's wearing the uniform. But then like within the last 30 minutes or so, something else happened. What happened?
Yeah, so it didn't last very long. Nobody assumed that it would take very long. He just got DFA'd by the Mets. So essentially, he was just released
and
by
the
team.
What does DFA mean?
It's designated for assignment. So essentially, he gets placed through waivers. And from my understanding, every team has a chance to pick him up. And if not, he just gets reassigned to their minor league team,
right,
which I assume he's gone.
Right, because who's going to pick this guy up?
Right.
Would he mocks his own team? No one's going to pick him up unless he was like smoking hot pitcher, but he's not.
I mean, he hasn't been having a great season. He's a journeyman through the league. He's played on quite a few teams now. I could see a team picking him up because he's not bad by any means. He's just having a bad year. But I definitely don't anticipate he'll ever pitch for the Mets again, that's for sure.
Well, the reason, thank you, Kyle, for sharing that, because the reason why I wanted to mention that is, after a stunt like that, he might be working at McDonald's. And if he's working at McDonald's, he's going to get $20 an hour in California, and that's probably where he needs to stay. But I wanted to dive into this topic, but I love this Lopez story, so Kyle, thanks for sharing that. But I love this story out of California because it's a great example of, number one, the power of economics, and number two, the law of unintended consequences. So as I kind of mentioned right before the break, California passed a law last year that requires all fast food workers make $20 an hour. Now, that sounds really good. In fact, Governor Newsom, Gavin Newsom, he stated when he signed this into law last year, and I'm quoting, "We saw the iniquities. We had a responsibility to do more," unquote. Unions, of course, were pushing for this. And CNN, never losing an opportunity to cheer on a leftist program, states, and I'm quoting, "Half a million California fast food workers will now earn $20 per hour." Well, I don't think that's true, and I'll tell you why. Because that's not how it's worked out. Because anytime the government interferes with the free market system, it creates this idea of just nasty unintended consequences. So at this point, there was one intended consequence, and that is that existing workers got a raise. They were probably making less than $20 an hour. Now they're making $20 an hour. So at least for the intended consequence, it's pretty sweet. They get more money. Of course, in California, with the taxes as high as they are, how much of that $20 an hour are they actually going to see in terms of that pay raise? That's a good question. But let's talk about the unintended consequences. And as far as I can tell, there are four major unintended consequences of this. Even though it sounds good, it's really not. Let me tell you why. First of all, thousands of Californians lost their jobs immediately when this went into effect. Why? Well, because number one, restaurants closed. A lot of restaurants were basically barely hanging on. And if all of a sudden now, listen, I'm a business owner. I know how this works. The biggest cost of any operation is paying your people. I pay my people well at my law firm because I'm trying to attract and keep good people. And that obviously helps the overall work product, right? But if you're in a restaurant business where you're barely eking out a profit, paying people more money means now those businesses can't make money. And businesses are not in the business of losing money. They're in the business of making money. So those businesses went out of business. So all of those workers that were previously working for the companies that went out of business, how much of that $20 an hour are they making? Now they're making $0 an hour, which is an enormous pay cut. So that's the number one unintended consequences. I read that the chicken chain place called El Pollo Loco, that they immediately cut 10% of their workforce in California when this law went into effect. So you had some businesses going out of business. You had other businesses cutting their workforce. Again, the people that are cut, they're not a beneficiary of that pay raise. It's to their detriment because now they are earning zero. Pizza Hut also announced that they will instantly lay off more than 1,000 delivery drivers. 1,000. And it's interesting, I read today, it was reported that one of these people that got laid off, he was delivering pizzas. And he said, quote, "What's the point of a raise if you don't have a job?" And that's exactly the point I'm making here, is this law of unintended consequences. The second fallout from this that people just don't think through, particularly the left, is this, that workers may still have jobs but will lose them in the not-too-distant future. Why? Because companies will now have more incentive to automate. Think about this. Remember, we've all seen these pictures in factories now where robots are taking over, Robots are building cars. They're building washing machines. They're building refrigerators. The robots are doing these. These are things that people used to do. Now, those folks are out of business because a robot doesn't file workers' compensation claims. A robot is not going to sue you for discrimination. A robot is not going to take sick time off because they want to undergo transgender surgery. None of those things are going to happen if it's a robot. So from the company's standpoint, this just accelerates trends that have already been moving in that direction. And you're right. Mary Lynn just texted in and said, California people are stupid, especially their governor, Nuisance. That's Gavin Newsom instead of Governor Nuisance. That's a good one. So it's going to accelerate automation. And by doing that, it's going to put more workers out of business. Think about this. Have you ever been to a McDonald's recently that has all of the automatic kiosks? You don't even have to place an order to a person now. You go up to a touch screen, you put in, you know, pick what you want, slip in your credit card. You don't even talk to a human being. That's part of that automation process that will now be accelerated because of the pay raise, not given by the people making the money, pay raise given by the government that earns no money. Third unintended consequence of this, prices go up. Have you seen, there was like a couple of viral TikTok videos recently where some guy was paying like $50 at McDonald's for cheeseburgers or something. It was in California. It was crazy. It was enormously expensive. And you saw that McDonald's has responded by saying, well, we're going to come out with the $5 menu, $5 meal deal, but it's only for the month of June because that's a loss leader. They're going to be losing money at that rate. So they're only going to do it for a month for promotional purposes and hope that you supersize, that you add in an apple pie, that you get a milkshake on top of it, what have you. But at $5 for that meal, they're probably losing money on that. But prices have to go up. If your people are all making more money, the only way the government, or rather the only way a business can handle that increased labor cost is to increase the price of goods. So do you really want to pay $17 for a cheeseburger at McDonald's? I don't want to pay that. And if that's what they're going to cost, I'm going someplace else. Or I'm going to order a pizza, or I'm going to go pick it up instead of have it delivered or whatever. I'm going to make allowances to get around that price increase. And I'm guessing you've probably already done that. That's the unintended consequence of the government setting the price that's paid to employees rather than letting the market do it. And the fourth reason here, and the fourth reason that at least I can come up with, is that this is really an unseen consequence of increasing the price and by paying minimum wage and increasing the minimum wage to $20 an hour. This is very unseen. And that is, how about all of the young and unskilled people that are never going to get hired at that first job because they've had to cut back, the businesses have had to cut back, and they have to automate more, so those people never get hired. So I want you to think about this example. Think about the first job you ever had. Were you overpaid for that job? I bet you were. I don't care what you were earning. If it was your first job, I'm sorry, you were probably an idiot when you took that job. I was a kid. I was delivering newspapers. I didn't know what I was doing. I missed a lot of houses, but it took me a while to figure out how to deliver newspapers when I was a kid. And my guess is you weren't all that great at your first job either. But what did that first job do for you? It taught you how to show up for work on time. It taught you how to dress for success. It taught you how to manage your time, how to balance your time, how to balance your money. All of a sudden, you've got bills to pay. You've got a small amount of income coming in. It taught you a lot on that first job. And if you learned on the job, then you probably got promoted. You probably either quit, went somewhere else. Anyway, the point is you learned on that first job how to be a productive employee. That's the real benefit of that first job. And how many thousands of kids are not going to have the experience that you had when you got that first job because of the government artificially raising the price of services to the point where a lot of kids, thousands or millions of kids, will simply not get hired. And to me, that is the real shame. Because if it hurts the chances of kids of getting their first jobs, it's going to hurt them in terms of their getting their second job, their fourth job, their career. It's going to have unmeasurable consequences, all because the government wants to raise the prices for what other companies, what companies pay their workers. To me, that's not acceptable. And that is one of the greatest examples of the law of unintended consequences. Hey, we got to take a break. When we come back, speaking of the law of unintended consequences, I'm going to talk about our sister state, Illinois, and what they're doing with fluorescent lighting next on At Your Service. Educating folks across 44 states in this country. That's At Your Service. That's what we're here to do. Phone lines, of course, are open. Text line open, 314-436-7900. I've had a lot of great texts this evening. Thank you very much. And I always appreciate when you are a part of the show. So thank you for doing that. You know, one of the themes that I like to continue to talk about is freedom. And last week, I talked a lot about freedom in terms of the American dream. What does it mean? And some say today the American dream is buying a house and having a white picket fence and putting a car in the driveway. But to me, that's things that we want, but that's not really the American dream. It's materialism. It's stuff we need. But the concept of the American dream is freedom. So if you want to buy a house, you can. If you don't want to buy a house, you don't have to. If you want to practice religion a certain way, you're free to do it. If you want to have no religion in your life, you're free to do that too. That is the freedom that America provides. And yet so many freedoms are under attack. Why? Because of overbearing government. So we just talked about the state of California, which the last time I checked, I think is running a $35 billion deficit. And they are trying to tell businesses how to run their operations. And they've got tens of billions of dollars in debt in California, but they're trying to tell small business owners how much they should be paying their employees. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. But also equally ridiculous isn't something that's all the way on the left coast, but something right next door here in the People's Republic of Illinois, because the governor signed a bill. It will be the 10th state now to ban fluorescent lighting. So I got to tell you, I'm not a big fan of fluorescent lighting. I've got it in my office. You've probably got it in your church basement or maybe even in your house basement, those big fluorescent light panels. And they're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. But do we really want the government telling you what kind of light bulbs you can buy? Remember a few years ago when incandescent light bulbs were being phased out, the United States actually made incandescent light bulbs. You know, the good old light bulb that Thomas Edison invented. Now, is it energy efficient? No, it's not at all. It produces more heat than it does light. In fact, I heard an incandescent bulb once described as a heater that happens to glow. So, and that's a fair assessment. But Americans actually made light bulbs when they were incandescent bulbs. How many of those LED bulbs are made in the United States? Just take a wild guess. Yell at your radio. How many do you think? The answer is zero. There are no, as far as I know, I think there are some custom made. For example, there's a company that I've actually represented before over in Illinois. It's called North American Lighting, and they produce LEDs for custom lighting situations for cars and so forth. And even in Illinois, cars have an exemption. But whenever we required LEDs to be used and incandescents to be phased out, really all we did was ship jobs to China. So now we have a situation where fluorescent bulbs are going to be banned, going to be phased out. And of course, if you ban them, that means none of those are going to be made in the United States any longer, to the extent they even still are. So now we're going to be 100% dependent on China for LED bulbs. And that's not even the worst part of that. The worst part of it is this. Think about this for a moment. If all of a sudden you have to phase out your fluorescent bulbs, just look, think about your basement. If you have a basement right now with fluorescent bulbs, it's not just that you have to replace those fluorescent bulbs with LEDs. You've got that big honking fixture in your basement, right? Right over your workbench. And that bulb is like 4 feet long and it fits into that specific light fixture. You can't put an LED bulb in there. So what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to go and buy all new light fixtures. How much is that going to cost? All to save you a few pennies a year by switching to LED bulbs? What about businesses? What about businesses that have to convert their entire operations in order to comply with this law over in Illinois? It's going to be outrageous. And they're doing this. Why? Well, they say that there are some pollutants in fluorescent bulbs and that they pose a health risk when they break or when they go into a landfill. That may be the case. But my point is that LED bulbs tomorrow, the only reason we don't have LED bulb environmental issues is because they're all manufactured in China. So we don't have that issue here. And do we really want businesses or governments telling you what kind of light bulbs you can buy? We have governments now trying to tell you that you can't put natural gas stoves in your house. You can't heat your water with natural gas. And now they're telling you what kind of light bulbs you can buy. Folks, this all falls under this umbrella of the greater the government is in terms of managing our lives, the fewer freedoms that we have. It's a sliding scale. As government gets larger, our freedoms get smaller. And so as we go into this election in November, there's going to be lots of debates about the size of government. But remember how the size of government impacts the decisions you make on a daily basis. Speaking of decisions, we still got the Dave Glover Show coming up at 10 o'clock tonight. Coming up right after this particular break. I'll be with you next Wednesday night on At Your Service, next Wednesday morning on Total Information AM. Thanks for listening to At Your Service. Brad Young, have a great night. Educating folks across 44 states in this country, that's At Your Service. That's what we're here to do. Phone lines, of course, are open. Text line open, 314-436-7900. I've had a lot of great texts this evening. Thank you very much. And I always appreciate when you are a part of the show. So thank you for doing that. You know, one of the themes that I like to continue talk about is freedom. And last week, I talked a lot about freedom in terms of the American dream. What does it mean? And some say today the American dream is buying a house and having a white picket fence and putting a car in the driveway. But to me, that's things that we want, but that's not really the American dream. It's materialism. It's stuff we need. But the concept of the American dream is freedom. So if you want to buy a house, you can. If you don't want to buy a house, you don't have to. If you want to practice religion a certain way, you're free to do it. If you want to have no religion in your life, you're free to do that too. That is the freedom that America provides. And yet so many freedoms are under attack. Why? Because of overbearing government. So we just talked about the state of California, which the last time I checked, I think is running a $35 billion deficit. And they are trying to tell businesses how to run their operations. And they've got tens of billions of dollars in debt in California, but they're trying to tell small business owners how much they should be paying their employees. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. But also equally ridiculous isn't something that's all the way on the left coast, but something right next door here in the People's Republic of Illinois, because the governor signed a bill It will be the 10th state now to ban fluorescent lighting. So I got to tell you, I'm not a big fan of fluorescent lighting. I've got it in my office. You've probably got it in your church basement or maybe even in your house basement, those big fluorescent light panels. And they're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. But do we really want the government telling us, telling you what kind of light bulbs you can buy? Remember a few years ago when light bulbs, when incandescent light bulbs were being phased out, the United States actually made fluorescent, or rather incandescent light bulbs. You know, the good old light bulb that Thomas Edison invented. Now, is it energy efficient? No, it's not at all. It produces more heat than it does light. In fact, I heard an incandescent bulb once described as a heater that happens to glow. So, and that's a fair assessment. But Americans actually made light bulbs when they were incandescent bulbs. How many of those LED bulbs are made in the United States? Just take a wild guess. Yell at your radio. How many do you think? The answer is zero. There are no, as far as I know, I think there are some custom made. For example, there's a company that I've actually represented before over in Illinois. It's called North American Lighting, and they produce LEDs for custom lighting situations for cars and so forth. And even in Illinois, cars have an exemption. But whenever we required LEDs to be used and incandescents to be phased out, really all we did was ship jobs to China. So now we have a situation where fluorescent bulbs are going to be banned, going to be phased out. And of course, if you ban them, that means none of those are going to be made in the United States any longer, to the extent they even still are. So now we're going to be 100% dependent on China for LED bulbs. And that's not even the worst part of that. The worst part of it is this. Think about this for a moment. If all of a sudden you have to phase out your fluorescent bulbs, just look, think about your basement. If you have a basement right now with fluorescent bulbs, it's not just that you have to replace those fluorescent bulbs with LEDs. You've got that big honking fixture in your basement, right? Right over your workbench. And that bulb is like 4 feet long and it fits into that specific light fixture. You can't put an LED bulb in there. So what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to go and buy all new light fixtures. How much is that going to cost? All to save you a few pennies a year by switching to LED bulbs? What about businesses? What about businesses that have to convert their entire operations in order to comply with this law over in Illinois? It's going to be outrageous. And they're doing this. Why? Well, they say that there are some pollutants in fluorescent bulbs and that they pose a health risk when they break or when they go into a landfill. That may be the case. But my point is that LED bulbs tomorrow, the only reason we don't have LED bulb environmental issues is because they're all manufactured in China. So we don't have that issue here. And do we really want businesses or governments telling you what kind of light bulbs you can buy? We have governments now trying to tell you that you can't put natural gas stoves in your house. You can't heat your water with natural gas. And now they're telling you what kind of light bulbs you can buy. Folks, this all falls under this umbrella of the greater the government is in terms of managing our lives, the fewer freedoms that we have. It's a sliding scale. As government gets larger, our freedoms get smaller. And so as we go into this election in November, there's going to be lots of debates about the size of government. But remember how the size of government impacts the decisions you make on a daily basis. Speaking of decisions, we've still got the Dave Glover Show coming up at 10 o'clock tonight. Coming up right after this particular break, I'll be with you next Wednesday night on At Your Service, next Wednesday morning on Total Information AM. Thanks for listening to At Your Service. Brad Young, have a great night.